Welcome, brave listeners, to Will Elm Presents Frightening Tales. Today's story is a bit of a special presentation. I'd like to introduce you to Daniel Damned, a paranormal investigator with a bit of a twist. Periodically, I'd like to check in on old Daniel and follow him on an adventure or two. Listeners in the Spotify service will find a poll at the end of the episode. Please do take a moment and let me know if you'd like me to continue to share stories of Daniel. Additionally, you can reach out to creepy@frighteningtales.com and let me know there. And now, I present this pilot episode of Daniel Damned, titled Mr. Nobody, written by Mark Wilhelm.
It might have been the mirror that broke first. Or was it all the bottles once carefully curated and displayed behind the bar that shattered under their inability to absorb the energies that were expelled from whatever was inhabiting the bartender? I thought the night was gonna be a windfall. You see, I get these flashes from time to time of things that are gonna happen. Of course, they can't be great things. Big things like Nostradamus-sized things. No, I get all the trivial things. A button will pop on a man's pants. Someone will lose their keys. There will be an outage and your video game won't be online for a few hours. So you can imagine my shock to learn that a $50 bill was going to be dropped on the corner of Erie and Noble Street. I figured that since I lost everything I'd ever owned, save for a few things I had on me, the universe owed me a little bit of a pat on the back for getting by all these months. So, no, I didn't return it to the woman who dropped it. I swung in and scooped it. If there's one thing I've learned over the years, it's that when an opportunity presents itself, you sure as hell better decide quickly how you'll handle it before someone else does. $50 in pocket, it seemed even more than lucky that a pub was right there. The Irish Nobleman. Done and done. Yes, it's cliche, isn't it? Homeless and the first thing he wants is a drink. Thanks for the vote of confidence, but no, I'm not that kind of bum. Everything hurt, and a decent drink could numb that. Sleeping on anything other than a bed hurt. I don't know how our ancestors did it, and all my parts ached. The closest I've come to a comfortable sleep was laying on the contents of rotting garbage, bagged and in a dumpster. Not where I pictured myself at 39. The shards of broken glass had done their job, and nearly everyone in the bar was dead. Except for me, the fellow that ducked in front of the bar, and a few people that hadn't finished bleeding out. Time would take care of that, though. Looking around the bar, my eyes stopped on the pretty waitress whose brown eyes stared lifelessly at me from the floor. It was the longest any woman in the past while had just looked at me. I was so lonely, it made me mad. And then I felt loss, seeing her there, broken and empty. How many times had I asked the universe for just one lovely lady that I could share my life with? And now there were several in here, dead or soon to be. My blood boiled at the thought of such waste. I bet me and her could have been happy. Then again, I'd probably just screw it up, given enough time. Perhaps she dodged a bullet then, being where she was now. That also made me mad. The man that ducked behind the bar stood up and shouted at the bartender. "Let me ask that again, then. I'll try and use smaller words." The bartender spat back a curse of some kind, in a language I'm unfamiliar with. Not odd for Chicago, we had people from all over here, but the fact that his eyes were glowing and he now stood twisted like a bag of skin filled with broken bones, he looked like he just sort of stuffed his skin with all kinds of extra bones. And that was not normal for Chicago, at least the one I knew. Then that zing hit me, followed by the vision. The man would step on a bottle that fell off the bar and hit his head. Then the thing behind the bar would leap across and stab a bony protrusion through his heart. Opportunities, right? I made a choice. "Watch your step, buddy," I shouted just in time for the man to look down and catch his foot. The bartender looked around the bar, confused by my comment, and then hissed, and with snapping movements, climbed up and onto the bar. Sharp bits of those stuffed-in bones now sticking through bloody tears in his skin. The man's attention returned to the shuffling bone bag. And then he spoke two words that froze the bartender in place. Like mid-movement, just stuck. A complete look of shock on its face. "I told you. I knew your name and the names of your friends. That puts you in no condition to ignore my questions. I was fully prepared to get what I came for and leave. But not after what you've done here, my little friend." He walked over to the thing and rolled up his sleeves, revealing a tapestry of assorted tattoos and sigils. The room seemed to darken all around him, as though he were drawing in the light. The bartender struggled as much as it could, but it was clearly under this fella's influence. Darkness thickened around the man and began to snake out in tendrils that grasped the bartender with a ferocity, yet not around the bartender. The man that was the bartender fell to the floor, bruised and cut up a bit, but no longer the bone bag thing. No, that part was being drawn back into this strange man, ensnared as it thrashed, trying to get free, and then it was gone. He seemed to wince from the ordeal. Then the light evened out around him, and he took a deep breath. Like one of those yoga breathing things you see on the web. He kept muttering over and over to himself, "Not the face, not the face." Then he bent down and rolled up his pant leg. There on the back of his tattooed calf was a dull glowing mark that seemed to die away into a tattoo of a cartoon pig sitting over a platter of bones it was about to eat, wrapped in a ribbon with strange writing on it. "Huh. I wouldn't have pegged him for one of the cute ones. I never know what they're gonna look like when it's done. Thank God it's not another dick." He rolled his pant leg back down. "Had one show up on my face once. Took 3 years for me to move. Thanks for the heads up back there," he said, picking up a unbroken bottle from the bar and knocking back a swig. He handed me the bottle. "Thanks, but I'm still finishing mine," I said, holding up my glass. He shrugged and knocked back another swig. "Who are you?" I asked. "Oh, forgive me, I'm Daniel Davison, private investigator of sorts," he said, pulling a card from his pocket with the same information and some strange glyphs drawn on it. "Far as people go, you seem, awfully calm about all this," he said, gesturing at the bar filled with dead and dying people. "Should we call 911? I can still hear some of them wheezing," I asked. He gave me a long stare, then continued. Devil shards. Snakes its way through to the heart. There's only one way to save any of them, but in the time it would take to get the items for the ritual and perform it. He traced a line across his throat with his thumb. I'm sorry, buddy. Any friends of yours? He asked, rather detached from the situation. No. No one I knew, I said, looking down into the waitress's eyes again. Just some lost opportunities. What did I just witness? I asked. Yeah. That. Well, that's a bit to digest, that. I guess the Cole's Notes version would be that there are dark things in the world, and I try to keep them from getting what they want. Dark things? That man looked like someone stuffed him full of bones. Well, demons tend to look rather horrific. Kind of goes with their brand, doesn't it? A demon? I said, the word out loud. But it felt right. It clicked with everything I just witnessed. Yappers! Minion level by the looks of it. Seen them before. They possess people and ruin their lives, making them watch from inside, till finally they can't take it. Can you imagine watching that thing with your kids? Touch your wife? Ruin your job? When it's too much, they give up their souls, of which tend to show up as a bone under their flesh. The more bones you see packed in there, the more souls they had. That was an old one. Must have been doing that for a decent chunk of time. I just listened to everything this Daniel said. And the more I heard, the more I knew. Just knew. Not a word of it was a lie. There's just one question I have for you, he said. How is it that a seemingly normal guy like yourself isn't dead with the rest of these fine folk? It was something I was actually asking myself. I wish I could tell you. I'm a nobody. I live on the street and I just try and get by. I think you're selling yourself a little short there, guy. That was an ancient evil and you didn't succumb to the demon fear it was emitting. And it didn't seem to show any acknowledgement that you were there, or you'd have been marked by the devil shards. That, sir, is not nothing, he said, walking behind the bar and rummaging for something specific. Ah, you'll do. All right, Mr. Nobody. We'd better get out of here. The bartender will be coming around soon, and the body count is far too big for the authorities to allow two bystanders like us to, well, just walk away. Pulling a bottle out from a cabinet below the bar, Daniel made his way to a table closer to the door and retrieved a black long coat he threw on, holding the door for me. Where are we going now? I asked. Well, where the wild things are, my friend. This wasn't the only one of these things out there. Every one we remove leaves that much more light in its place. So, you could say we're working towards a brighter tomorrow. He said this, barely holding back a smirk. Nothing. Really. I thought that was a surefire win. Tough room. Look, the truth is the dark things did this to me. They made me a prison for their kind. And I aim to do my job and lock up as many of these bastards as I can. Till I find the ones that did this to me. Yeah. What was that thing you did back there? I grabbed my bag and began heading to the door. He lifted his shirt and there was a tapestry of tattoos on his body. Each was different, save for that ribbon wrapped around it, with strange writing on it. Each one of these, is something that went bump in the night. But I bumped back. My childhood wasn't exactly a Hallmark movie. My mother was an addict, or so I've been told. So hard up for the crap she put in her veins that when the wrong people came along and promised her money for a seemingly little thing, she couldn't help herself. You see, Mr. Nobody, that thing in there got there because people called to it and brought it here from wherever it is they live. Cultists, Satanists, demonologists, whatever you want to call them. Asshats. They believe that they can somehow find themselves owed a debt of power or take control of these things like soldiers of darkness or something. But I hear them when they're in here, he said, patting his chest. I hear all of them. And they don't give a lick what any person here wants. They just consume. Every last one of them is just hungry, and they'll devour everything till it's all just darkness. Mom never knew what she was getting into, allowing that cult to carve their magic into her, into me. I was a baby inside her at the time. They had lofty ideals of bringing their dark lord into this world through me as its vessel. But luckily, the boys in blue caught on when Nutjob started stealing babies, and there was a raid the night they tried to bring a big one through to put in me. The magic was incomplete, but the universe always tips towards balance. Rituals, you see, are like writing code with magic. Each incantation is a set of instructions. Lighting the candle and saying the right words gets you the start of magic code. Then drawing blood and saying more words makes a person susceptible to demonic influence. Add some herbs burned and a wave of the hand that tells the magic to create a place, a pocket in some dimensional quilt I'm a part of, where something can be stashed. Chant these lines and the house is ready for a new owner. Sacrificing the mother invites in the house guest. Well, that's when the cops showed up. The door was never closed. There was more to the ritual, more coding that was required to feed my soul to the thing and seal it in my flesh. And because it's all inside and, well, this temple was built for my soul, I guess I can call the shots on the rest of it. I can keep inviting them in. There must be a hell of a house party going on in there. What happens when the house is full? I asked. That is a great question, Mr. Nobody. We'll have to see. Pardon my saying this, but Daniel? You're damned. I like that moniker. Daniel Damned. Yeah, seems about right. No, seriously. What do you call a place that imprisons demons? Well, I call it Daniel, he quipped. They call it hell, Daniel. They call it hell, I said. Well, it hasn't been easy, Mr. Nobody, that's for damn sure. So, are you in or are you out? I could use someone that is ignored by the dark things to watch my back. And you could use a place to stay? And a square meal by the sounds of it? Besides, I just have a good feeling about you. And I'm a great judge of character. It did feel odd that he was sharing so many personal points about himself, having just met me. He didn't know me. My instinct said that I should go along. The prospect of sleeping on anything softer than the hard Chicago streets seemed enough for me. But there was a strange familiarity that clicked with this Daniel guy. Like the universe somehow wanted me here. It all just felt right. So many opportunities in such a short time. So I walked through the door. The only thing on my mind was this idea that if all of hell's demons are going to a new hell, how's that gonna make the current warden feel? Well then, Mr. Nobody, you got a name? Yeah, but I like Nobody better, I said. Whatever floats your boat, guy. Right now we need to find a quiet little place out of the way where I can ask my new inmate a few questions. And know any place like that? I do, actually. There's a place a short walk from here that would be very private right now. Those of us that live on the streets end up learning the city. I don't mean the roads or businesses, but the city as a whole. All the ins and outs. Searching for food and shelter, we stumble on the bigger picture, things like stormwater management and electrical systems, hidden access ways for public works, and places that a regular resident would never even guess existed. There was an alleyway nearby that has a public works access in it. Those of us on the street knew the codes to get into these. The city used a system where each access panel had a serial number on it. The first four digits, plus 1775, when Illinois first declared its independence, will get you into any of these. Pushing the numerical pushpin code, a lock clicked, releasing the large metal door whose hinges wailed a shrill song in opening, and whose heavy clunk sealed us inside. The tunnel was humid and dark, requiring a flashlight to navigate, which luckily every mobile phone user had with them. The tiny LED revealed a concrete shaft at a height that you needed to stoop to avoid hitting your head on the conduit tubing above. Traveling a few moments down this access way, the tunnel broke off to the right where a maintenance sign read, "Stormwater Junction." "This way," I said, heading to the junction. A lot of us like the cool quiet down here. You couldn't notice the city above through all the concrete. "You sure you know where we're going, Mr. Nobody?" Daniel asked. "You wanted a quiet place, and this is the closest private place I know. So long as the laundromat is closed, which it is at this hour. Otherwise, this place is full of homeless who come here to bathe in the runoff waters. Not clean enough to drink, but full of soap that'll get rid of any smell you might have and make you feel semi-human for a while. Yeah, I was wondering why it smelled so fragrant," Daniel remarked. "Smart of you to figure this out," he continued. "Yeah. All the washing machines drain into this gray water collection. Since we don't have homes or showers, it just made sense. When you live on the street, you find ways to make do. I'd only been on the streets a little while when someone showed me this place. There's a bit of a camaraderie among the homeless. I think because they get it, and they'd hate to leave anyone else suffering longer than they needed." "Huh. You're full of surprises, Mr. Nobody." We made our way through the passages until it opened into a large square chamber, where many passages joined. The walls were covered in graffiti.
"We're here. You're free to do whatever you need to do."
I moved to a higher platform that had two passages leaving from it. One I knew led to a parking garage, and the other out to smaller tunnels that eventually would lead outside. Daniel stood in the center of the lower area on grating that drained the room. The constant sound of water trickling echoed off the walls. He closed his eyes and spoke in a low voice, indiscernible with the acoustics in this room. And then he grew quiet. There across from me on a ledge came a shuffle, and a dark shape was now occupying that space.
Ah, there you are, fella. We need to finish the conversation we started before you murdered all those nice people.
It gurgled and seemed to push the words out of his body as though speaking was not natural to it.
Jalar, vile man. What have you done? Return me to the Brightlands.
Manners, manners, fella. I ask the questions, and I make the demands here.
He raised his hand in the air and clenched his fist. At doing so, the thing dropped to the ground as if in agony.
Oh, yes, yes, ask.
That's better. I like the attitude change. It's nice now that we're simpatico. The Order of the Nine took from the lands of men that auspex of Valens. They split it into three parts. Where is the orb?
It's in a refrigerator on the ninth of a high rise. With golden lions at its gate. Go to the apartment 1209 and you will find what you seek.
Forgive me, but I can't help but feel that you're being just a smidge too compliant now. What's waiting for us in that apartment?
And with the question, Daniel flexed his fist again. It howled in frustration.
The vile one, Athebicus, and his razors.
Lovely. Another I can add to my collection. I'll be sure to tell him who ratted him out. The orb. Where can I find it?
You could see it was fighting something inside. And then it spat.
The orb is entrusted to the Nerin.
There you are. That wasn't so bad now, was it? Where's the Nerin now?
If I had a dollar for every bra. Then Daniel turned to me.
He'll just need to soak in that pain for a tick, and we'll know where to go.
Who else is here, gatekeeper?
The orb is all you need be concerned with. Where is the Nerin?
Its strength broke from resilience to compliant sobs.
What you seek is in Florida, in Ocala.
It broke off into sobs of pain and then vanished in black smoke.
Well, we've learned much more than I could have hoped for, Daniel said, smiling. One, we're road tripping to Florida. Two, after we capture that demon in that hotel, of course. Three, we confirm that demons can't see nobody.
I stepped down from the platform towards Daniel, assuming we were leaving, when I heard something moving in the tunnel.
Daniel, we're not alone,
I said as a hissing sound from behind me grew in intensity. The tunnel was dark everywhere but where Daniel's phone light shone, and something was scurrying in the tunnel near where I was standing. The sound stopped and then seemed to be coming from the other side of the room.
I think it's down here. Are there lots of rats near here?
He asked, waving his light high on the ceiling to reflect into the room. This created more shadows than someone who'd just seen the things I have tonight was comfortable with.
It's Chicago, I said. You know what I mean, smart guy.
As someone who frequents this place, do you normally encounter this sort of thing? To be honest, no. Usually all the bathers keep the pests away from here. This would be my assumption as well, Daniel finished. I could hear it again in the tunnel over my shoulder. Small nails tapping against the walls. As I turned to look where the sound was coming from, something large, wet and furry collided with my shoulder. I panicked as soft bat-like wings fluttered against my face. The thing shot off, squealing as it veered into a pool, while I was set tumbling down the ramp to land near Daniel. The water bubbled, and a large wet beast with bat wings flapped its way from the fluid, tangled in mosses and other plant matter from the side of the concrete. Daniel pulled from his coat a small revolver and fired twice at the thing, which dropped to the concrete in dying twitches. Daniel stepped towards it, shaking his head. He traced a symbol in the air and spoke something quietly. The creature erupted in blue-green fire, leaving not even ash behind.
"You're not cut. It didn't touch your skin, did it?"
he asked, patting down my coat, looking for tears.
"Seems your invisibility is more of a boon than we thought. Had that watcher got its claws in me, I'd have a short time to find an anti-venom or die."
"What was that?" I asked, shocked and still startled, staring at the spot it once stood.
"Watchers, they're twisted abominations of animals infused with dark energies. They're used by evil forces, generally to spy. It was here waiting for us, which means that something knows what we know. Looks like we just got fast-tracked for warmer climes, Mr. Nobody. You have these things following you often?" I asked.
"Normally,
well, no, but the thing I'm looking for is something powerful and a little taboo in my circles. It was a matter of time before someone discovered what I was doing."
"What are you doing?" I asked.
"I told you, Mr. N. I'm taking down as many of these things as I can, till I find the ones that started this all."
"Was that magic?" I queried.
Something like that. I picked up a few skills from my inmates over the years. Fight fire with fire, I say.
This feels like a bit much, you know? Before tonight, I only wondered where my next meal would come from. But now the world changed.
Look,
I get it.
I tell you what, why don't you just sleep on it?
Let it all soak in on our way to Florida. You'll have about 20 hours, give or take, for us to get there. If, when we do, you decide this is just all too much, we could part ways. But if we get there and this just still feels right, then perhaps you're just, well, meant to be where you're meant to be.
It seemed reasonable to think about. But monster bats, demons, and magic? Seriously?
Come on, honey. Do it for me,
came a whisper from behind Daniel, where I locked on to the gaze of those beautiful brown eyes from earlier. She was standing there for a moment, behind Daniel, and then he stepped in front of me to turn around, and with the broken line of sight, she was gone. But before she left, I could have sworn she winked. Startled, I stepped back and lost my footing. The world spun, and everything went black.
The rhythm of
silver light flashed over the contours of my face as we glided along the city streets, stirring me from my darkness. I opened my eyes to see the roof of a sedan of some kind, and then the next light hit my eye. I flinched, pushing the sore part of the back of my head into the upholstery, wincing at the pain. Is that country? I never would have pegged Daniel for a country guy. But the last few hours have turned a lot of things I'd have believed on end. It made me wonder what was waiting for us in Florida. I guess I'd find out soon enough. One thing was for sure. Laying here was way better than the concrete of a Chicago street.
Thank you, brave listeners, for listening to this special presentation of Daniel Damned. You've been listening to Mr. Nobody, written by Mark Wilhelm. If you're interested in periodically hearing more about Daniel Damned and his cohort, Mr. Nobody, please write me at creepy@frighteningtales.com and let me know. If there's enough interest, we can find out what happens in Ocala, Florida. Do tune in again next Friday for another frightening tale, if you're brave enough.